You know, the air was real thick Wednesday night, there were a couple demons in here. This morning it's kind of thick, we don't really care. Bible said, be in season, instant in season, out of season.
Amen.
I guess I got one time in a meeting, an evangelist got up and he said, somebody's quenched the spirit, I can't preach. I was kind of young preaching, I was sitting there and said, let me up, bud, I can't. I mean, maybe not too good, you know, when the air is kind of thick, but at least you can get it out. Sometimes God allows that to see if you're going to go ahead and do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You ain't going to get everything like you want. And if you get everything like you want, you're going to wind up in a position you didn't want to be in.
Yes.
Amen, boys. That was good. I really appreciate y'all's endurance. I really thought I cut the message short last night. And then brother told me, he said, 2 hours and 15 minutes. I said, praise the Lord. They need every minute of it.
Man.
And altar was full and people crying out to the Lord. I seen some people meant business last night. I really liked that. And of course, I seen people didn't mean business. They ain't never meant business and never are going to mean business. And you just got people like that. Ain't a whole lot you can do about it. Just preach the hell out of them and then hope they get right with God. Numbers 23, we want to stand, we'll read the Word of God. And I confess I am pooped this morning. I am too pooped to pop. But we're going to see if we can preach it anyway. Numbers 23, and we begin at verse 17. And when he came to him, well, you need to get the contact. Let's go to 14. Balak is getting a hold of Balaam here. At 7:14, he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah and built 7 altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And he takes him to 3 different mountains now. I'm trying to get him to curse the children of God, and he can't do it. Although he saw that check in front of his face, he wanted to, but he couldn't. Said 17, when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princess of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? Well, now that's a good preaching text there, isn't it? What hath the Lord spoken? We're not going to preach that. 18 said, he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. I tell you, this an old heathen king got more sense than a lot of people. He wanted to know what God said. Amen. Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Father, I thank you for the word of God that you've given to us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy and your long-suffering. I thank you for what you have done this week, Lord, in the hearts of those people who have come. I appreciate, Lord, any victories that you've given lives. And Lord, I pray now this morning you'd help me to preach thy word faithfully and truthfully. Father, the spirit of flesh is weak and wore out. And Lord, I pray that you would just give me strength. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God might have full control in this room this morning. I pray you'd cover us with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd cast out any foul and unclean spirit, Father, any worldly spirit. And, oh God, I pray, Father, any spirit contrary to thee. And I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that your will would be done. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll circumcise the ears so that people may hear the word of God. I pray you'll circumcise the hearts that they may understand. And I pray you'd not allow the devil, Father, to steal the seed out of the ground. And I pray, Father, people will be faithful to do what you tell them to do. And Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ might be praised and get all the glory to him. In his name I pray, amen. Make sit down. Hang on while I add a last point here to this message. That I just now got, and amen, boy. I like that right there. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if I've got any illustration to go with it, but we'll preach it anyway. Now, I want to talk to you this morning. Boy, these flies. I tell you, I can't stand anything. I want to talk to you this morning about verse 23, I think it is. Is that where it is? No, it's up there in verse 21. The last part of that verse, and it said, the shout of a king is among them. Now, this business of shouting, we got up there in New York and got in a dead old church, and nobody shouted, nobody enjoyed God, and I never can understand if you say, I don't believe in shouting. You shout at your husband and shout at your wife, and you're just a big hypocrite, that's all. We got up there in New York. And we got up there and got old Brother Nugent's gone. We got a week there with him and had a good time, spending 8 days there preaching the Word of God. But when we got done, there was a shouting. One of them, boy, I thought might have changed colors on us, but he was really going at it. And we got in there shouting. I called Brother Nugent's up about a couple of weeks after that, and I said, how's it going? He said, well, pretty good. He said, most of them still got the shouts. I had a little trouble with one old bird. I said, who was it? He said, well, he didn't come to the meeting. He said he was at your meeting last year. He only came one night. And he said this year, he asked one of the deacons, said, how long is that foul ball going to be in town? And so he didn't like me too much. And I really appreciate that. I've been called a lot of things, brother. But I've never been called out of bounds yet, you know. And I like that, a foul ball. That's pretty good. And so, you know, that old guy, he was sitting in there after I left. He showed up. And he should have been there all week. He might have got something.
Yeah.
You know, you belong to a church, and you could be in the services. When they got the door open, you just full of hell. You don't show up.
Yeah.
God said, I'm full of everything. You full of all of it. Amen. You just full of the devil. Say, well, I had something more important. I doubt it.
Yeah.
And anyway, got in there, and he showed up on Sunday morning, and they were singing. And boy, I guess he said they got to shout and praising God in there. And so that old man right in the middle, they have these, you know, they still got, try to get him out of this form, brother, but they still have one of these churches, you know, they, after the second song, everybody shakes hands, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I guess that's all right. But anyway, they go around shaking hands. He said, while they shaking hands, that guy was griping, you know, talking about these people and about all this shouting and everything. He wasn't shaking hands with nobody and didn't glove nobody. He just calling and griping. And he said he got in there, and in the middle of the song service, I don't know what they were singing, but boy, it must have been something good. Said, boy, really got shouting and glorying in there. And said, oh, God, said, you don't sound like a bunch of niggers. You just irreverent, irreverent. Said he walked out. And I said, boy, it's the best thing ever happened to your church.
Amen.
He said, yeah, I got some news. Got up there and he said he got some letters from a couple of deacons' wives. That's why I like Brother Mills. Brother Mills made two deacons out of them retarded boys. He said, I don't have to worry about no deacons' wives. He looked at me and said, I'm thinking about that old J.C. Brown, you know, he told me that they made him his associate. Got half a brain. But they love God as they made him his associate. And they got out of the Harvard like he's crazy. What's he is? I said, why did you do that? He said, brother, said, I don't have to worry about him stealing my shirt. Got in there, you know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what, you don't know how quiet it got, let's see, last night.
Yeah.
And you know, I only said 30 seconds on this thing, but it got real quiet last night, and it got quiet the night before, and I'm talking about these women keep running their mouths in church, you know. Amen, you know what I'm saying? But God, ain't no, God never calls no woman to teach a bunch of women nothing. Oh, gonna be quiet. Here in town, Bible got rid of one. Best thing they ever did, man. Best thing they ever did. You say, what about Titus chapter 2? That ain't a Sunday school class, brother.
Amen.
Amen. I know you don't like that, but anyway. I got all that stuff, you know, they got, he said, got them letters. He said they talking about shouting in the flesh, all of them. Probably is. I bet this place was full, so full last night, man. I wanted to pass out 5 day deodorant pads about a half hour. But got in here. Got pretty bad, you know. And got in here. And I'll tell you something. Get along. Going like that, man, people just to get a shout and get going like that. It's awful quiet though sometimes you get on that scene. Huh? There are probably some people shouting in the flesh last night. Probably was. Might be this morning. So what? Amen. You sit down with your fat hunting in and eat in the flesh. Amen. Huh? You do all kinds of things in the flesh. Like I told you, the price of freedom is association with nuts. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. You're going to put up with a few nuts. But I don't know why your problem is. That ain't your problem. Well, I want to talk about, I didn't want to get on you. I just want to kind of help you this morning and give you a blessing. I didn't really want to get all over you. But I want to talk about the shout of a king this morning. I believe in shouting. People, they ought to shout at their God. Well, I tell you, people probably, there might have been some gripe because they sat 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I know they're teaching. They say, now, 45 minutes and you lost the whole crowd. Man, I only lost two people in here last night. Everybody's with it right up to the end. I mean, I saw them, boy, they're going like this and this and this. There's blood all over the place. Everybody's wide awake. They didn't dare go to sleep. They prayed they might bleed to death while they were sleeping. And everybody was in here going strong. And you know something? I said to myself, boy, you know, they stayed around here an hour talking. Yeah. Isn't that something? Man, he preached 5 hours, they'd stay an hour talking. Yes, they would. It ain't the length of the sermon they like, brother. It's the stuff in it they don't like. Yeah. We went back and we went over there to visit Brother Powell. He had to leave out this morning. We went over there and visit him. And we passed by that Haji Baba, whatever it is, you know, all in the 40 Thieves or something over there. And down there on 9 Mile Road, went by there. And I'm telling you, that parking lot was full, wasn't it? My wife said, boy, look at that. I said, yeah, they're worshiping their God. I said, what are they doing there? I said, I don't know, get drunk or something. What are they doing in that place? Well, you know what? They worship their God. We come back from Powell's at 1 o'clock in the morning, and man, there was people just starting to leave that place.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah. I remember going out the bar. I mean, right down there in the corner, 9 Mile and Pine Forest, that hellhole down there. That place was packed out, brother, and we left. And it wasn't doing too bad, and we came back.
Yeah.
And I look at that thing, and I said to myself, you know that's something. People holler and gripe because they might spend an hour or an hour and a half in a church service. And before they got saved, man, they spend 2 and 3 hours. You go to the movies last longer than that.
Yeah.
You old hypocrite. They come in there, amen. They come in there and they go to the ball games and they'll shout. So I don't believe y'all shout in church. They go to some stupid church league ball game and they shout over them all.
Yeah.
Amen. I can't understand that. I don't understand what's wrong with people except they just fool the devil, I guess. Wife says that's your favorite phrase. I said, I know it, but that's really the truth. Everybody's fooling the devil. But I'll tell you, there's a reason for the people of God shouting here, and it said the shout of a king was among them. Now we want to look up a few scriptures, not a whole lot, but just a few. Turn to Judges. Turn with me to the book of Judges in chapter 16. Now I'm going to give you some shouts here this morning. In Judges chapter 16, if I can find it in this little Bible here. In Judges 16, about verse 23, and I hope that's the right reference. I lost all my notes in this sermon, but I think that's right. In Judges 16, 23, it said, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hand our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And I'll tell you something this morning, there is a shout of the enemy. The enemy has a shout.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something, they do shout, brother. I've seen them at ball games shout. I've seen them I've seen things, you know, where they had their queers, they all get together and they shout. I read a little thing about a deal in New York, and they didn't show that on television, but how they about killed one old guy and took over this Catholic church and everything else. And I'll tell you something, they just shouting and screaming and hollering, and there is a shout of the enemy. And the enemy always has that, a shout. And they can shout, and they get going. And what are they shouting about? Well, I'll tell you something, right there, they're shouting about the fall of a saint God. And I tell you something, the enemy of life,
The enemy loved to see a saint of God fall, and the enemy shouted over the fall of the saint of God. I tell somebody, if there is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance, I know that there is joy in the pit of hell when one saint falls, brother. That's what the devil wants. If you say and walk in the blood, what the devil wants from you is your life. Don't want you to do nothing for God and sit around with no victory and just entangled in the affairs of this life. And boy, if the devil can get you to fall flat on your face, you give him a victory and he's going to shout up a storm. Yeah, the enemies of God always shout. And I'll tell you, some of the enemies of God's people are God's people. Never know what they're saying. Never understand that. Like that old preacher said, the Baptists are the only ones that bury the wounded. And that's the truth, boy.
Yeah.
Man, they start talking about some old saint falls and goes down, and boy, everybody starts shouting about it. Amen. Boy, I'm glad for that. I ain't glad for no saint falling going down. I might fall and go down. Might happen tomorrow morning. Might happen this afternoon. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be gone already. I believe that. And there's the enemy shout. And I mean, why should God's people shout? Let the enemy ain't got nothing to shout about.
Amen.
Read back there in 1 Kings 18, where they had that contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You don't need to turn there, because we're going to go somewhere else. But back there they had this contest. And I mean, them old boys put the bullock upon the altar. And Elijah had his bullock up there. And those guys were leaping on the altar and shouting, cut themselves and do all kinds of things, and they have no reason to shout. As a matter of fact, when that whole contest is over, I'll tell you how it went. When that whole contest was over, Elijah was standing there, and I mean the whole mess was gone. The God of fire answered by fire and lit up the whole configured mess with fire, and then prophets of Baal was standing there, and they had a bunch of bulls. Just a bunch of bulls, all they had, amen? And that's all this word of God, man, is a bunch of bulls. They got up and shout about it, and they shout, and they shout, and they holler. Now that's the enemy shout. Then I want you to know something else. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel. Let's look at there in 1 Samuel and chapter 4. Now I'm not going to preach all this. I'm just giving you this by way of an introduction, an 8-point introduction, 12-point message, a 10-point conclusion. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, that message on babies, you all had 25 points on that, didn't know it. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and verse 5, it said, when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again.
Yeah.
And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Now, if you go back to verse 3, the people are saying about the ark of the Lord, said there in the middle of the verse, let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemy. And so they're shouting when the ark of the covenant of God comes into camp. But look at the Philistines in verse 6. It said, when they asked what it meant, said the ark of the Lord was coming. And in verse 7, the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. Now there's a case, brother, when a bunch of unsaved Hamites had more sense than the people of God. I'm going to tell you, there's a wrong shout. There's a wrong shout. And people shout sometimes about the wrong thing. And the children of Israel were shouting because they thought it was going to save them. They said, well, when it has come into the camp, it shall save us. And they said, boy, when the ark came in there, they began to shout. But the problem was they were shouting about the wrong thing. You know, the people of God sometimes can shout about the wrong thing. Amen. Sometimes you shout about the blessing, and that's good. But don't forget that God gave it to you.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever put anything in place of God. I'm going to get hot again, isn't it? Y'all don't have a heater in this building? Well, I don't know why it gets so hot in this place. No, that's all right. We'll do all right. Let them sweat. Anyway, you get in there and they got the wrong, should have preached on hell, but I know it's going to be that one. You got the wrong shout, man. Then I want you to know something else. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3. That'll be in the Old Testament. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, all in book. Ezra chapter 3, And let's look at verse 11. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he's good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. When they praised the Lord, because of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. And I'll tell you something else, another shout. There's a shout at the revival of the house of God. There's a shout at the revival of the house of God. And I'll tell you something, where there comes a time when you get that old shin out and that old preaching comes along and gets you, and you get along with God and the Holy Ghost gets down there and convicts you of that stuff and reproves you, like a brother said this morning, and gets a hold of you. And then I'll tell you something, then you begin to know what it is to shout when you're all clean and cleaned up and right with God. Man, that old shout just flows out of there. And there's a shout at the revival of the house of God. You might not have a shout when the week started, but maybe you can kind of get one now, see, because the preaching been going on, and the Lord been dealing with you, and you've been dealing with him kind of honest, you know, in your heart. Pretty soon you get all cleaned up and start walking with God, and you can't walk with God and not shout.
Yes.
Say, how do you know? Because all I know is it said in the presence of the angels of God, that'd be up there where God is, amen. In the presence of God, let me tell you something, when one sinner comes to repentance, there is shouting, there's joy and rejoicing in the presence of God. And I don't know where, but somewhere at this moment, someplace on the face of this earth, some sinner is coming to repentance. Somebody's coming to God. And that means they're shouting up there all the time, see? And so when you walk with God and get right with God, you get in on that shout.
Amen.
I believe that. You say, you're crazy. I know, and you are too. I just haven't been right. Amen. Amen. Then I want you to know that shouting in Job 38:7 and Psalm 132:9, you can just write them if you want to. Shouting is an evidence of joy. It's an evidence of joy. Now, not always. These people here in Ezra 3, some of them was crying. Brother Woods, he said his wife, she never shouts. Said she just sits there and bawls, you know. Said it gets going good with her and she just starts crying. Well, there's going to be some emotion showed somewhere. Amen. These old dead Baptists that don't want a feeling, they're about half nuts. Amen. I take all the feeling I can get. Amen. If you don't believe that, but you know, as long as you just follow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you judge all them spirits by the Word of God, ain't nothing wrong with the feeling. And I come along there, I enjoy them good feelings. I need them every once in a while. And I want you to know there's a wrong shout, shout of the enemy. There's a shout of battle in Joshua chapter 6. And I tell you, some of them walls came tumbling down because the people of God were shouting. Amen? Sometimes the old devil don't like it when you get to shouting and praising God. Now let's look back in Numbers 23 and see if we can figure out why the shout of the king was among them. There are some reasons why every child of God should have a shout. There's at least 50-some verses in the Bible about shouting and rejoicing and much more than that. But I ran over at least, well, more than that even, and there's at least that many verses tell you about rejoicing and shouting. The Bible said, let the saints shout for joy. And said, let them shout. If they agree with God, the righteous words of God, let them shout. And I'll tell you something, ain't nothing wrong with having a shout. Now, every time they get shouting like they did last night, I kind of get a little cynical because I know what I'm going to preach. And I knew there's all that shouting going on for an hour. I said, boy, they ain't going to be shouting in about the next 5 minutes. And that's okay. There's a time to shut up and there's a time to cut it loose, brother. Time to let her go. Just need a little discernment when, that's all. Numbers 23, and if you look down there, I want you to notice in verse 21, it said, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now I want you to know the reason every child of God should have a shout this morning is because God is covering for him. He hadn't beheld iniquity. You take there, they're coming out of there, they just fought Sihon, and all came the Amorites, the king of Bashan. They just come through there, they have a battle there, and the old king come out to get them, and they got victory there in the battle, and they just shout out that. Then they could have came in camp near the coast of Moab, and they come in there, and about that time, they come along, and David says, go get Balaam, come over here, and I want you to curse understand that?
No.
I don't worry about understanding it, brethren. I worry about doing what it says. The thing said there, it said he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, there no perverse to sin. By the time David, forget, well, now wait a minute, Lord, don't you remember back there, I mean, just back there in chapter 11, here we are, Lord, in chapter 23, man, it was just 11 chapters back there, 12 chapters back, they were crying and complaining and murmuring. And Lord said, I don't remember that. Amen?
Yeah,
not coming for them, boy. They come, I tell you, if there ain't anything to make these count this morning, ought to make a back stop. So right now in the presence of God, when that old devil accuses you, and comes up and says, look what he's doing, look what he's doing, cast him into hell. And I said, I can't cast him into hell, he's perfect.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a license to live like you want to, but I'm just telling you something this morning. He didn't beheld iniquity. Why, he's covered. God covered for him. God didn't more than cover for you, brethren. God forgave you and took it all away and cleared you.
Yeah.
He did more for you. I tell you something, he said, blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered, forgiven, whose sins are covered. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, and who, to whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, but I got the imputed righteousness of Christ. And Paul said in Ephesians 1:6, that I am accepted in the beloved, brethren. And I'll tell you something this morning, one of the reasons I got to shout for God is because I realize God is covering for this wicked, sinful, old, vile, rotten wretch that's standing here preaching. And every time they accuse you, God said, I can't find nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
Now, my relationship to God, him and me personally, the Lord tells me about it.
Yes.
Huh? Now look, but I'm covering for you in front of the devil, but I'm going to tell you something. You just lived like the devil. Amen? Mm-hmm. But in front of my enemies, lots of things need to learn, you know that? Like old Brother Tim Lee said, it's nice and neat to keep the troubles in the church in the church.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, boy. The Apostle Paul, he might have raked him over the coal, but you know what he did when he left? He tells other churches all the bad stuff about
him. That's right.
From my enemies, God covered for me. But that don't mean everything's all right with God. It is a blessing just to know, bro. All my enemies come up and talk about me, the Lord says, shut your mouth. That boy's perfect. And God and me both know I mean. I didn't know that. My wife could fill me in. Amen. Shout of the King is that I take it. That ought to make you want to say glory to God. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy. Because my sins are gone, brother. I've got a conscience that's clean from that stuff. And I don't have to pay the penalty of those sins. And all I got to do is go before God and put them under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, far to east is from the west. He said, I'm going to bury them in the deepest sea. I cast them behind my back. I ain't going to remember them anymore. I said, that's good enough for me, boy.
Amen.
I tell you, I'll make you want to shout. You know what? I always wonder about people don't like shouting.
Yes. Yes.
I always think there's something strange about it.
Yes.
People don't like shouting and don't like preaching on the blood and don't like preaching about heaven and don't like preaching about hell and don't like people getting right with God. There's something wrong with them people.
Amen.
And I want you to notice something else. And we're not going to go as long as we did last time. But I want you to notice something else in verse 20. Boy, drank too much orange juice this morning. Verse 20 says, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, let me read you one here out of 2 Corinthians. You turn there if you want to turn there. Out of 2 Corinthians. And chapter 1. Got this little Bible every time you turn a page, 12 chapters go by. In Corinthians chapter 1. He said, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, and unto the glory of God by us. I'll tell you why you ought to have a shout this morning, because God bless us. You know why them people could be there in the midst of their enemies and have the shout of the kingdom on them? Because God was blessing. I'll tell you something. Even they went out there
and they didn't even look for a fight one day. One day just all of them came out there to beat them up. God said, don't worry about it, I'm going to take care of it. I tell you something this morning, God blesses you right and left, and you don't have a shout. Your problem is you don't count your blessings. You count all the bad things and the trials and the burden and the problems and the trouble, and you're wore out in this life, and you ain't got nothing to do with God. And I tell you something this morning, if you count them blessings more, like the song said, name them one by one, you'll see that God's done some wonderful things.
Yes.
And there'll be a shout of king in your heart. Paul said, rejoice evermore. And again, I said, rejoice. And Paul said, you can have that joy, full of glory, unspeakable and full of glory. That's what Peter said, and Paul said, you can have the peace that passeth understanding. I tell you something this morning, if you get your eyes off your problems and your troubles and your eyes on the God that is blessing you this morning, you have a shout of a king in your heart. The reason you ain't got no shout, because you don't think you've got any blessing, because you think you're worth more than you're worth, and you think you deserve something, and you deserve hell, fire, and damnation. That's what you deserve.
Amen.
It's a blessing God saved your filthy, rotten soul.
Amen.
Oh, man. Shout of a king was among them. Shout of a king was among them because God blessed him. And God does bless you. God dumps them on your right leg. Sometimes you don't think he gives you what you're supposed to have, but you just fool the devil because God gives you everything you need. You believe that? I believe that. God's always supplied my need. Sometimes I didn't think I needed what he supplied, but he always supplied what I needed. That song said he knows just what I need. He does, too.
Man.
You look down there in verse 21. I'll tell you about a blessing. Little old Elizabeth, home in heaven. Now, a year and a half ago, she was out there in a nursing home. Elizabeth, 81 years old then, I think, 82. And she said, I went in there and said, how you doing? Diane Tammy's there with me. How you doing, Elizabeth? Oh, she's doing bad. I mean, it's just like Job, and the skin cleaving to her bones. It's terrible. She looked terrible. But you know, she had a countenance on her, man, and a glow about her. You couldn't mistake it. And she, because she'd been with God. And she come in there, and you know, I mean, she's sitting there in a little old room, and no, you know, nobody hardly come and see her. All the loneliness and everything else. And she just sitting in there and said, how you doing, Elizabeth? And she said, well, she said, had a little bed. She said, I thank God for my nice bed to sleep on. She had a shout of king, boy. I'm kidding. It wasn't a real loud shout, but it was a shout. You know what I mean? You know why? She just thanked God for the blessing she had.
Amen.
Wasn't that something?
Yes.
You always think of something God blessed you with. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
I talked to a fella, I don't know, a while back the other day, something he complained about his wife. You know, she's this and she's that. And I said, brother, you're just bitter. You're just bitter. And I said, brother, I'm going to tell you something. I said, I don't care how good or how bad a wife you get in life. I said, you deserve hell, fire, and damnation.
That's right.
And God ain't going to give you that. You got a blessing, brother.
Amen.
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 I told her tonight, if God gave you a hell cat, it might be to try to make a man out of you. That's all I know. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, man. God is blessing them, and the shout of a king is among them. And verse 21, he said, down there he said, the Lord his God is with him. The Lord, his God, is with him. God was with them. That's why they could shout. Listen, it's a blessing to know, but sometimes, huh? You know what? Back in the Old Testament, man, the Holy Spirit, sometimes he came in there, sometimes he came on them, sometimes he left them, came back, sometimes he left them, never came back. This whole time, he never knew where he stood with God. Sometimes that Holy Spirit, the Lord, in the New Testament, the Bible says, I'm sealed with him.
Amen.
And when he got in, he couldn't get out.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit come in there and put a little seal on there, and he couldn't get out if he wanted. He didn't want to, but he couldn't afford it. They were shouting back there because God was with him. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how life goes or how much problems and troubles you get in life. I don't care what kind of situation you find yourself in. If you're saved and lost in the blood, God is with you. And you ought to have an answer. Yes. I'll tell you something. Maybe sometimes the reason you can't challenge those situations because you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God with your filthy mouth. And by doing that, man, he comes along there when you need comforted. Oh, Jeremiah said, the comforter that should comfort me is far from me. The reason he said that, boy, I'll tell you something. Christian today, you get along there and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You ain't going to
last time, and boy, that is God, the glory of God. He said, don't worry about it. He said, only let your conversation be without covetousness and be content, with such things as you have. For hath he not said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee?
Yeah,
amen. Oh, I think that'll make people shout. I don't know what's wrong. The shout of King is upon them. Why? Because God's with them. And listen, you got more blessing than the children of Israel did back there. Why, God dwells inside of you. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Not only that, I want you to look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know why the shout of the King was among them? Because the promises of God are sure.
Amen.
Huh? You get down here in this life, boy, it gets rough, don't it? I don't like this life. Amen. I don't like this world. I don't like this life. It's rough. I'm a baby, man. I can't take it rough. It gets hard, it gets rough. It just gets on you. You get down there, you just don't want to go another step, don't want to do any more for God, don't want to go someplace. About that time you remember that the promises of God are sure. One of these days all will go for you. One of these days you work. One of these days it's gonna fix them all the trials and problems won't be over with. Just be up in glory like he said he's gonna be. It's the mind of some of you, but he never did lie. Amen. The shout of the King is among them because God's promises are sure. Why, Balak said, I want you to curse him. And he said, I can't curse him. And he said, God done blessed him. And I received commandment to bless. He said, I can't curse. He said, I don't care what it happens. He said, listen, there ain't nothing you can do to curse. And I'm telling you tonight that there was one thing, nothing that the devil can do to curse me.
Yeah.
So this God is blessing me.
And yeah.
Because the promises of God are sure.
Amen.
I said, Lord, thou art my God, I exalt thee, I praise thy name, for thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And the counsels of God are faithful and true. The Bible said we read the old promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, that the promises of God are sure. And God ain't never lied to me. God ain't never going to lie to me. And when God tells me on these days, I'm going to spend eternity and be up in glory. And one of these days I'm going to have a new body and run around heaven. And one of these days I'm going to be fine. Ain't going to be no sin and no sickness and no sorrow and no disease. Something, but the shout of the King is among them. Why? Because the promises of God are sure this morning. God ain't never lied to you, and God ain't going to lie to you. I don't understand why people can't trust God. That Bible said, if you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Some of you people, you trusted God to save your filthy, rotten soul from hell. You ain't seen hell, you ain't seen heaven, and you ain't never seen the blood of Jesus Christ, but you trusted all that, and then you get down here in your Christian life, and you can't trust God just to get you through day by day. I don't even understand that. I tell you, God doesn't lie. God's going to get you through. Your problem is you're a conniving Jacob, and you just plan there to say how, and you get in trouble, and then you blame it on God.
Amen.
Oh, you get a shout
Amen.
Once in a while. So I don't believe in this emotional religion.
Yeah.
I believe in everything else emotional.
Yeah.
Cry over the movies, books, television. Get excited when your ball team wins. Get excited when they lose. Holler at your wife. Holler at your husband. Holler at the kid. Cry when you don't get your way. I don't know why you think it'd be any different with God. Shout the King is among them because the promises of God are sure. God, man, has never lied, and he ain't going to lie. And I'm going to tell you something, fret not thyself because the evildoer, the wicked, will be cut off, but thine expectation shall not have an end. Amen. Shall have an end. I'm going to tell you something, one of these days my hope will end. I'll see my hope. I'll be in glory forevermore. And the wicked just going to be cut off. Why? Because God said that so.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care how bad it looks. You know, you better get used, brother, to believe in God.
Because you're going to be living in a day and age now when they're going to be doing all kinds of wonders. I mean, sciences, not just charismatic, but sciences and all kinds of things in this world, they're going to be doing things that's going to make your Bible look like it's alive.
Yes. Amen.
And you're going to say, well, I saw it. And you're going to be deceived by what you saw.
Yes.
Well, I had this experience. You're going to be deceived by your experience. Well, I just think, and you can't think straight anyway.
Yes.
Amen? You better get used to believing what God said, because I'll tell you something, somewhere in there, man's going to lie to you.
Amen.
And old science is going to come along and try to prove that Bible wrong, and you're going to think that it proved it wrong, too. Because you ain't been believing God all the way along.
Amen.
While the generation of kids we're raising, they're going to quit on God. Just because you're a Bible believer don't mean your kids going to wind up that way. They might be now, but I'll tell you something. They raise them like hell these days, and they're raised and believe everything the world says. And when the world says jump, man, they jump. One of these days, the world's going to say, that King James Bible is not the Word of God. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say it must be, because God's not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
I tell you, the shout of the king is among them, because the promises are sure. And I want you to notice in verse 22, said God brought them out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. The shout of a king is among them because God delivered them. I'll tell you something, brethren. This whole business of bondage and liberty and all that kind of stuff, the more I think about that, the more I appreciate what God's done for me. God delivered them out of Egypt. They were there under a hard taskmaster, down there making them old bread, getting on strong and everything else. And God said it in the Exodus 3:7, he said, I've heard thy cry, and have come down to deliver thee, and will bring thee up out of the land of Egypt. And I pray some God didn't lie to him then, and God delivered him out of Egypt. You know that's a type of the world. And I'll tell you something, God delivered me out of the world, and the shadow of King is among them because they realize the deliverance of God. And Paul there in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10 came along and he said, well, he delivered us, and he got delivered, and he shall deliver. Or amen. God delivered me, brother, from bondage to sin and the pain of sin. God delivered me out of Egypt and one of these days. And then now God is delivering me from the power of sin. As I live this life, God gives me deliverance day after day through the blood of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days the trumpet is going to sound and God will finally deliver me.
Yes. Amen.
All that'll make people shout. I don't know what the problem is. They got a gender lift. I tell you what it is, some people never have gotten over the place where they got saved. Some people got saved in a dead church and they ain't never got over it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen people get saved in a dead church? They come down the aisle and they get saved. I'm they get saved. You get saved anywhere, amen. And they get saved. They get saved in the old dead church. The preacher said, all those in favor, amen. Boy, you see people come down and get saved in a church, man, that's got the shower came on, you're not telling nobody to save them. Amen.
Yeah.
They said,
amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Listen, honey, you've been nothing but just an old fool and a jackass for the world all your life. And you want to God.
Amen.
Yeah, you follow me, you love yourself too much. Amen. When you pray, you cry all that. If you're afraid you cry, you're afraid all that sin on your face will run. Amen.
Amen.
You get down there in Numbers 23. Well, I didn't want to preach on the pride of the flesh, but I did anyway. Well, glory to God, I want to try to be a blessing this morning. Anyway, I tell you something this morning, God delivered them. They got down there, man, and old Og gave him a big bedstead, brother. Well, Og came out to him. God said, don't worry about it, I'm going to deliver you. Sometimes there's some Ogs and some Goliaths come along in my life, amen, and they just come, his brothers, they come by, and God said, don't worry about a thing, son. Just pick up the old stone and throw that thing. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll aim it right between his eyes, and we'll get this thing lit together. And I said, well, it ain't me. Sometimes I think it's me, you know, but it's God, kind of like the mouse and the elephant. Boy, we really shook that bridge.
Yeah.
Get a hold of that. But I'll tell you something, it's God, you get that in a minute. It's God that delivers you, and God that is delivering you, and God that shall deliver you. And if you can't shout about that, your child is broken. Something wrong with you.
Amen.
You know why you don't shout about that? Because you ain't got delivered.
Yes.
You're phony. You're a hypocrite. You're putting on air. You're putting on like everything's right between you and God, and it ain't right between you and nobody. Amen. And I I want you to look down there, verse 22. Verse 22, he hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Say, what's that? One corn, I guess. I don't know what a unicorn is. Everybody tries to tell me, you know, I'm just a unicorn, okay? Rhinoceros, well, I don't know what it is. All I know is it's something pretty strong. I can't read about it in the Bible. I say it's got a lot of strength. And if it's got as much strength as God does, man, I don't want to mess with that animal. Amen. Yeah. So he hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. You know what I want to talk about? God is my strength. You know why people can shout? Because God's my strength. Yeah. I reckon you get weak, don't you?
Yeah.
Some of you get in Bible school. I'm telling you something, the grind is rough. You get wore out and you talk before Brother Ellis slept through half the message last night. But it's still got a car right with God, amen. Praise God. I reach long enough, brother, so you can wave over now. We just been working and working and working. Trying to do what he's supposed to do to get some time off with his wife, you know, everything. I'm going to tell you something, that's okay. I knew why he was sleeping. That's okay. He don't do it every Sunday, I don't think. And, and every time he's in church. But, you know, I understand that. I ain't real hard knowing about all that stuff. I might hit you over the head to crush because we crush. I'm okay. So sometimes you get down there morning, you just get weak and wore out, and it gets hot.
Yes.
You know, that's when you got to be careful.
Yes.
You know when David got out there with him? He got the cave. You know who showed up? The devil showed up. The same one that hit the fell. And his fell showed up and said, let's go out and get him now. He said, why? Well, he's weary. Oh, I'll tell you something. You get that old body tired and wore out. Boy, that old devil begins to fight. That's the stupid flesh that he throws to the pastures. You get that old stuff wore out, man, and he got you. And sometimes I get wore out. Sometimes I get down and I can't go no farther. I don't feel like praying. I can't read my Bible. I can't talk to nobody. I'm hard to live with and everything else, and I'm supposed to preach. Man, I can't even get up and preach. And I say, God, I can't get enough. Lord, that's pretty good. That's the way I want it.
Amen.
Amen. You know why the Lord does that? The Lord does that to show you it ain't you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something this morning. The shout of the king was among them because they realized who their strength was. You start going in the flesh and you think you're the strength, you put on stuff. You won't have no shout. And you won't be able to understand why people do shout. You won't be able to understand us. What Paul said. Paul said, God told Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. When we get weak in the flesh, when we get where we can't do it, then God is assured of all the glory. Isn't it? And when we get along there and we can handle it, we can do it. God isn't assured of all the glory. We might get some glory, brother. And I'll tell you something, he is my strength, he's my fortress, and he is my deliverer. And I say I walk under the power of God, because if I walk under my own power, I fall flat on my face. I am tired and wore out. He's my strength. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. You say, what is that? I tell you what that is. That's not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
The shout of the king among them is because God their strength. And when you go in the flesh, brother, I tell you what you have to do when you go in the flesh. You start working in the flesh and everything pretty soon. To get by, you're going to have to pop this pill. And you're going to have to pop that pill. And that's what's wrong with this old cotton-picking country. They're just living this whole life according to the flesh. And most of the Christians ain't nothing but glorified dope addicts. They got the whole thing just filled with stuff from a doctor don't know nothing. I tell you what the problem is you're living after the flesh, and you're going in the power of the flesh, and you're not going in the strength of God, and you ain't got no shout, because you don't realize your strength is from God.
And I want you to look at verse 23. See, we almost done. And you don't believe that.
Surely, there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. You call up everybody you want to call up. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? I'm going to tell you something, not on
is God covering for them. Not only is God blessing them, not only is God himself with them, not only is God promises are sure, not only God deliver them, not only is he their strength, but God is their defense. I'll tell you, when the enemy surrounds and the hordes of hell abound, and my soul has wings like a dove and flies away to the throne of God to find mercy and grace and help in the time of need, God is their defense. I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing that can be formed against me. There ain't anything that can overtake me as long as God is my high tower. As long as God is my defense. There ain't anything that can come against me. There ain't anything that can happen to me. But what God will not allow it. And God is my defense this morning. If I try to fight, listen, I can't get nowhere. But God can defend me. Whoa, Brother Powell's trying to show me how to defend myself with my crutches the other day. I told him, I said, man, you can help me use these like nunchucks. He's a little bit, you know. He told me, he said, I'll show you how to block a blow. So he showed me, and I was trying to get that out of practice, and that day I fell over. I guess I might block a blow and fall down or something. You know, so I was trying that thing. I got there like that. So we go, he said, go like that, do that, and then boom, like that. I wasn't hitting, brother. And something like that. I said, hey, that's a pretty good move. You know what? I bet God's got some pretty good moves. You know? I've got a way to block a blow. By that time, the wind comes and hit me. And I'm trying to raise my breath. I'm all flat on my hind end. God just brings down the blood of Jesus Christ. God is my defense. He's not only my strength, but I'll tell you something. He is my defense. He's my defense pattern, my defense plan. He's the whole time-taking man. I ain't nobody can break through the line when God is my defense. You understand what I'm talking about this morning? And when you realize that God will take care of you in life, I like it, soldier. God will take care of you. God will. Sometimes he'll take care of you all you don't want to do, but God will take care of you. I tell you something this morning. When you realize that God is your defense and your battle is a spiritual warfare against the hordes of hell and against spiritual wickedness in high places, I tell you something. You realize that God is your defender. You'll have a shout of the king inside that old heart and say, maybe not all the time, but once in a while, you just couldn't help but say, amen, brother. Glory to God. I remember when I couldn't even strike back that God killed the whole come picking on.
Amen. Like that old Jew battling on the mirror. He's out there in them sand dunes out there. Boy, you give him enough time, one Jew, the whole company of air. Boy, I know where commander, he sent one fellow over there. That fellow come back, he went home, down in the valley at the dune over there to beat up that old Jew. That was just a little old short Jew. And that old Arab, he come back there pretty soon, they waited for him. He's crawling through the sand, beaten, whipped, and all bloody. Next time that old man said, I think I'll send two. So he sent two. And they come back the same way. Then he sent four. And I'll tell you, about 30 minutes later, them four men was all crawling back, bloodied and whipped. And they were coming over the hill from that camp and said, that does it. I'm taking the whole cotton picking army over there against that one little Jew. And they got down there at the valley. And as they were coming down in the valley this way, them four Arabs were coming back down this way. Boy, just a straggling along, bloody and weak. The one old Arab shouted, he said, stop! Go back! Go back! Go back! You can't do it! There's two of them! Amen! Amen. God, brother.
Amen.
What do you do? I just stand around and enjoy it. Why are we back in Revelation 19 when I get to ride a white horse? I can't ride a horse now. You know why I can't ride a horse? Because you got, when they start running, you got to kind of stand up the side a little bit or you know, and it just gets a little warm back there. And I can't do that. So I tell you what, I'm looking forward to riding a white. Won't be none of these stupid horses down here on this earth anyway. You know, these old proud, pretty little old things bang your leg against a tree and everything else. I tell you, God's going to put you on a white horse, and that's going to be a glorified horse. Amen. I don't know what else to be up there. Amen. And come down there and ride your horse and say, we're going to battle. Amen. We're going to battle. Get to go to the war. Down there, man, get on that white horse and ride along there, and the Lord be going in front of us and say, what you going to do? Nothing, I guess. I didn't say nothing about me fighting. Did it? He just said there all the armies of heaven following him. But he's the one doing all the fighting. That'd be the best battle I ever did in. Get along there just ride back like that. Out of his mouth going the sharp two-edged sword and said, pulling the blood up the horse's bridle, the wicked cut all kinds.
the commandments.
Right on.
By that time, all of them come along, jack the sword in me. I went in there and it's out there, you know. And enough didn't feel nothing or anything. By that time, the Lord turned around, and down he drove. And as he got his hands on the thing, the Lord killed him. His hand let go, the sword just dropped all the way down through my body, and the horse, and down on the ground. Everybody heard me. God, my faith. Well, when they whipped me and beat me up, you know, and throw me in jail. And they take this old body and mangle it. They kill me. So what?
Amen.
Yes. I got something they can't tell.
Amen.
God might have been against starvation. You dumb Americans think you're going to starve to death. Oh, yeah, they don't thought they did starve to death. You think you're going to starve to death? Let me tell you, there ain't no such thing as a Christian starve.
Amen.
If you starve, you're going to be to death.
Amen.
Amen. Because you're going to go through death. Amen. Bible said the point of another man wants to die. Well, you say, when did you die? When I got saved, I got put in the death of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I done died.
Amen.
I can't starve to death. Say, so what do you do? I starve to the greatest banquet feast I ever had in my life.
Amen.
People about having nuts. You know, that's always worried about this junk right here. I don't figure that out. It ain't no good.
Hey, look at 24. I'll give you something else about 23. You're living in a country that is full of witchcraft.
Yes.
And along that line of them demon machines we talked about this morning, a lot of that stuff has to do with occultism. And you saw it's just entertainment. It's worldly entertainment. Amen. You know, it's last night got quiet when we got preaching about liberty.
Yeah.
You know why? Because all these Christians think liberty is what it is.
Yeah.
They think it's liberty to do what they want to do. Ain't it? They didn't read the passage right. So all things are law. I know you didn't read the passage right. You got to read it right, brother. You still ain't going to be able to answer 1 Peter 1:15 and 2 Corinthians 7:1. I tell you, there's a cleansing job you do yourself. See, you're going to heaven. But while you're here on this earth, your walk and your testimony depends on the cleansing job you do. You get down there and all that witchcraft stuff. People scared to death of witches. I got up there, Brother Kip. He said, I don't understand why they all. We sat there at a youth camp. They had a witches come to meet every Friday night. We didn't get to go over. But we was talking about it. He said, these guys are scared. You know, they're going to go over this and that. He said, I don't understand that. Now I got to be in my church. They seek out. That's when witches get together. They seek out that stuff. And they just go over there and take crap. They go there and they hand them out. They say, here's this, you know, you really shouldn't be worse than the devil. I mean, don't you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings? Don't you know the precious blood of Jesus Christ is the Savior of your own soul? Don't you know that Jesus is worse than a loser? God's going to be alive forever and the devil's going to be cast and just witness him. He said, well, you know why you don't understand that? You've got no victory in your Christian life at all, and you're scared of everything. No, I'm afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of him. I respect it. But God can handle it.
Yes.
Now, the days I walk up to a bunch of people like that and start with them and tell them about the blood of Jesus Christ, I got a minute for you, boy. God's going to do something.
Yes.
You know what? When you begin to figure that out, what your problem is, you begin to think that there's a power greater than the power you have.
Amen.
I'm a charismatic. I'm not off base on greater peace in me and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. Your God controls their God.
Amen.
He's
your
defense. You're no defense and no match for it. And you go in the flesh and a puffed up mind, you're going to fall.
Amen.
You go in the power of God and under the will and command of God, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. So what are the new kids? Devil still can't get you. And look at verse 24.
Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down till he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. The shout of a king is among them because there is promised victory. There is promised victory. Listen, I read the last page all the time in my life. Every time I read a book, I always read the last page of a book, find out how it comes out. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest blessings in the Bible is reading the last two or three pages there, the last chapters there. I'm going to tell you something. You got a promised victory, brother. I don't know why people can't shout over that. Sometimes I get down and I get too selfish about it. I just shout. Say, why? Because I'm on the winning side. And you know something? Right here, Israel has a victory. And it isn't too long before they go down in defeat. And it isn't too long before they're dispersed among the nations. And it isn't too long till they're under Roman rule. And it isn't too long before their city is destroyed. And it isn't too far after that before Hitler comes. And it isn't too far after that before the tribulation becomes. But they've got the promised victory. And there's a shout of a king and every child of God that's here this morning. Because I don't care about the defeat and the battles that are lost in this life. And I don't care about the trials and the burdens and how hard it gets on you. There is the promised victory in Jesus Christ. The final victory will be realized. And one day we will be out of this world and rid of this world and rid of sin and rid of ourselves and rid of the devil. And we have the promised victory. Now, why is there no shout? Turn with me to Isaiah 16. And this is talking about Moab. But I'm going to apply this to a child of God. And I don't have time to run everything down. But Isaiah 16 says, therefore, verse 9, therefore I will bewail with the weeping of Jazer, the vine of Sibma. I will water thee with my tears, O Heshbon and Elealeh, for the shouting for thy summer fruits and for thy harvest is fallen. And gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presence. I have made the vintage shouting to cease. In Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 33, same context. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. Say, why, Brother Harrison, do people not have a shout? Because there's no fruit.
Yes.
No fruit.
Amen.
Some of you boys get deep in the Bible. You learn all that stuff. You got it all down. You got all that knowledge. You don't teach everybody. You got no shot. But it's full of pride. Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. Now the study part is you get in that Bible and study. But it says to show. And you don't show nothing by study. So in the next part of the verse he says, oh, work. You know the Bible said the joy of a hypocrite is but for a moment. You can learn all you want to learn from that Bible. You can get all this knowledge you're going to get. And, but if you're
God what it takes to live a life for God. And it takes more than that knowledge. It takes a heart.
Amen.
And there's no shout because there's no fruit in the vineyard.
Amen.
And when you don't produce fruit, brother, there ain't nothing to shout about. Because the Lord said, abide in me. Why? That your joy may be full. And if you abide in the vine, you can't bear any fruit.
That's right. Amen.
He said, now little children, abide in him. Why? When he comes, you'll be on a swing. Telling this business about wealth to read the whole chapter, I don't want people to think I'm a fool. You've been doing things to make people think you're a fool all your life. So, well, I don't shout because I think it's charismatic. You don't mean that. You just hide and see him. You know why you can't shout? There's no fruit. Now we can apply that to souls, okay? We know better. So we can apply that to souls. I'll tell you something that'll kill a shout in the church, brother, is no babies being born.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You know something? When a little baby gets born in a house, I don't care how wrinkly and ugly they are, they bring joy to that house.
Yeah.
When you get in there and ain't no babies being born, sometimes it's hard to have joy. And I'll tell you something, in a church, in a local New Testament church, when there aren't new babies being born, there is never going to be any shout, because them little babies bring a shout, and they bring joy. When everybody sees them coming in, you're happy, and you're joyous in God, because there's some fruit for the labor.
Amen.
But not only that, then we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. When you quench and grieve the Spirit of God, you're not going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And you're not going to have a shout when there's no fruit. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? You can all quote it, can't you? Well, let's don't quote it. Let's pay attention to it. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Everybody says souls is a fruit. No, doctrinally, the fruit is not souls. Look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is. Come on now. Love. We preached on that. He had no shout. When you don't have the love of God shed abroad in your heart.
Amen.
The reason Christians don't have a shout is because there isn't any love in a home. Most Christian homes today are nothing but a house full of inhabitants. And they're not a home. The wife is not in her place at home. And the husband's not in his place at home. And the kids are not in their place. And if no love shown in that house, you can show love to everybody else, but if you haven't shown love at Jerusalem, the love you're showing to the uttermost parts of the world is a hypocritical, self-righteous, self-gratifying, self-satisfying love, and you're a liar in heart. You don't know what the love of God is. Joy. I don't know what joy is. You think joy is when you're happy because you get to do what you want to do. Joy comes along when you're doing what you ain't want to do. Peace. Oh, you got that peace, man. Long suffering. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. And what's that? That's patience, brother. Gentleness. Goodness. 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 You wouldn't be
talking about an outward righteousness. Would you there?
Yes.
I believe you would be. You'd run it all down. Because in Ephesians 5, it gives you that. Faith. Ain't no Christian in this country live by faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. No fruit. Then I want to give you a couple more things. And then we'll close while there's no shout. There's no shout if you turn with me to, let's go to Numbers 25. Now these people got the shout of a king, but it isn't too long before they lose it. And in Numbers 25, if you look, it says there in Israel, the bowmen set them and the people began to commit for them with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And if you'll turn to find out what happened, turn to Numbers 31 and verse 16. Well, look at 15. Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. There's no shout because of world conformity. What happened was, Balaam could not curse the children of Israel. But he did counsel with Balaam and told him how he could get the children of Israel to bring a curse upon them by being disobedient to the commandments of God, Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And that's how they brought the curse upon them. They became little worldly, and they became conformed to the world. And brethren, you cannot have a shout when you are conformed to this world. When you are not transformed by the renewing of your mind, but instead are conformed to the way and the thinking and the attitude of this world, you will not have a shout of a king in your heart, even if you're ashamed and on your way to heaven. There is no shout among God's people today because they are in bondage to the world. That's what that liberty is talking about. That liberty is talking in Galatians about being free from the bondage you were once in. It doesn't mean liberty to live like you want to live, because it says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Yeah. Yeah. And you've got a fleshy, sensual, babyish society of Christians that don't have a shout because they're conformed to the way this world is. And once you begin to walk like the world and talk like the world, your philosophy, you begin to think as the world thinks. And you can't have a shout like that. You won't understand anybody that does. World conformity. Brethren, there ain't nobody in this universe that can take your shout.
Yeah.
There is nobody that can steal your joy unless you let them. You say, my husband stole my... No, he didn't. He might have been full of the devil and might have been on you, but he didn't take your joy. You got pride in there and that took your joy.
Yes.
Amen. Say, my wife. Your wife can't take your joy, bud.
Amen.
You can allow it. She can't take it. No shout. Why? Because of world conformity. But I want you to see the last one, and we're going to quit. Turn to Acts 20. Nobody can take your joy, but there are people in this world designed to drag you away from God, and that will take your joy. Look at Acts 20, verse 29.
Paul writing to the elders of Ephesus, and he said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And I don't like to say what I'm getting ready to say, but there are people all over this world that get in among the saints of God, and they get in local churches, and they get in everywhere else, and their ministry, brother, is to draw you away from God.
Amen.
And they're never in the open about it.
Amen.
They're always underhanded, they're always sneaky, and they always appear to be sheep, but they're wolves. And when you get around a child of God and a Christian, or around somebody where they are not, and they begin to steal your joy, and you get around somebody and they begin to say, "Look, that won't hurt you, and you can do that, and that's all right, and that don't mean anything," I'm going to tell you something, all of a sudden you find your joy missing, and you find yourself being destroyed, and you're born of things of this world. You know what the problem is, brother? You got hooked up with a wolf.
Amen.
And you won't, and I'm going to tell you, they smile.
Huh?
And they're sweet. And they're nice. And everybody thinks they're fine and spiritual. And they're red and woolly. And they'll destroy your joy. I like that message old Carville gave me about preaching the church.
Yeah.
Back there in Leviticus 11, man, that's good. And one of them preach, I'm just giving to you, is a weasel. And you know what a weasel is? It's a real pretty animal. Boy, it's just cuddly at night. Long as you're looking at a weasel up through a window pane of glass, long as you're in the cutest little thing, you put one of your arms, you'd be missing some eyeballs. They go for two things, brother. They go for the throat and they go for the eye.
Amen.
You know what's wrong? Brethren, sometimes there's some among you that's going to steal your joy.
Amen.
Go with that. If you get around people like that, you know what you need to do?
Bye-bye.
You can't be around me. And I have a hard enough time with me. If I get around two people like me, I'll never be able
to.
Amen? Miserable. I'm talking about those that deliberately try to destroy and undermine in a church. And that'll kill a shout.
Yeah.
Now listen. You know why you ought to shout? Because you're going to go up with a shout.
Yeah.
You know what the Bible said in Psalm 47:5? Our God is going up with a shout. He comes down with one, he goes up. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't even shout. Well, you're going to be out of place in heaven. So, well, that's heaven. I'm going to tell you something. You need to shout now.
That's
why. Oh, boy, you used to have a shout all the time. What was it? They didn't know much as you did. They just knew God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You're walking there. The Bible says that the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead Christ will rise. That'd be all the parents. He's coming with a shout. I'm in him. He's in me. When the rapture happens, we all want a shout.
Yes.
Yeah. He's coming with a shout. Goes up with a shout, and when we crown him Lord, oh, brother, I'm going to tell you something, they're going to be some shout.
Amen.
I like what Homer Smith said. About all them dead Baptists. Amen. You ever hear him say, I like what he said. He said, when they walk in there, that New Jerusalem, look around that thing and say,
glory to God!
We're going to say, I'm going to kick them. I told you so. You got a shout this morning?
Amen.
You say, what's the purpose of this message? Nothing. Amen? I done ripped you and tore you apart all week long. I wanted to be nice this morning. You ain't got no shout, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
I don't mean you got to jump pews and run aisles. You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. You don't have to be loud like a brother back there who gets excited about God. That's okay. But there's got to be some emotion. So listen, there is something desperately wrong and strange with a fellow who's never up and never down.
Yes.
Something wrong. You say, what? Ever seen God in my life? No, he's up and down. Huh? No. Up and down. David. Up and down. Peter. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. I'm not talking this morning about a charismatic Christian anywhere. Everything's fine and smiling and happy all the time. But I'm telling you something, y'all have a shout over
time. Yes.
Even if it's kind of weak.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have something wrong with that inside of you. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. What Paul said, it will not discourage. It's not that way, it's discouraged. We're distressed, but not perplexed. And I'm in all kinds of trouble. Everything's fine.
Man,
do you understand that? Nope.
Amen, brother.
But I've experienced.
That's right.
Shout of kings among them. Father, thank you this morning for the shout of kings. Thank you, Lord God, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Washed. Cleanse my soul from sin. Give me a home in heaven. And Lord, this old body is tired and worn. I can't even jump and shout like I always do. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, Lord. I still got to shout. Oh, God, you blessed me. You covered for me, Lord. Dear God, in your sight, I'm covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lord, you've been my defense all along life's way. God, you've given me blessings. Lord, you've been my strength. Dear God, you've promised me things, and you ain't never lied yet. Father, I'm thankful this morning for the shout of a king. I'm thankful that you live in me, and I in thee, and we're in God. Lord, I'm thankful this morning that you're with me all the time. I'm thankful this morning that there is promised victory, Lord. God, I'm thankful this morning for all you've done. Lord, I'm grateful for the day when you're going to come back and take me home. Lord, I'm thankful for the time when you come and sit on the throne of your father David, and you will rule King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm thankful for the time when all will be given back to God so that God may be all and in all. I'm thankful for the time when time shall be no more and when eternity, Father, will be over here. Lord, I'm glad for that new Jerusalem and that heaven I'm going to. I'm thankful for the reunion of the saints and the joy, Father, that's there around the throne. I'm thankful, Lord God, this morning for the fact there'll be no sorrow and sickness and trials and burdens and no heartaches or pain. I'm thankful for the fact this morning, God, that the shout of a king is in my soul. Lord, I pray, Father, this morning, if there's some Christian here that lost their joy, they might realize that their joy is in Jesus Christ, their Savior. Now I pray if there's a lost soul this morning, Father, they realize they got nothing to shout about. They're going to die and go to hell. They're going to burn forever. Their shouting should be no shouting. Their shouting will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But oh God, while we shout around the throne of the Lamb and praise Him forevermore, I'll tell you something, Lord, the more wicked going to be burning in hell. Father, I pray this morning that one without Jesus Christ as their Savior, they might come to know Him as Savior and know the shout of a king, Lord. And I pray for your people. God, you deal with their old prideful, that old stinking pride, God. Their old envious, covetous, worldly hearts. God, they might get right with thee, that they might have a shout. Lord, I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. We're going to stand and sing. Lord spoke to you. You do what He tells you to do. You didn't get nothing out, but don't do anything. I'll do whatever God tells you. What things you want to do? 393, Jesus I come. 393. I know some of you have been on the hall every night. Some of you have been getting things fixed up. Praise God, that's good. You say, well, you listen, if the Lord will speak to you about something else again this morning, then get that fixed up. It's a step-by-step process, brother. Sometimes you get so far away from God, it takes you a few days and a few nights just to get back.
Yes.
You do whatever God says. Don't do it. I ain't going to tell you nothing. You do what God says. We'll sing, Jesus, I come. pray. Not only one step, it was amen. The next one, hallelujah, glory to God. When his wife died, he didn't shed a tear. He said, what a hard. No, it wasn't hard. He said, I don't understand. You know why you don't understand that? Because you're just a worldling. We just sold, we mess in this world and the world's ways. You don't understand that. You know what he did? He jumped up and shouted and praised God for a half an hour. His wife finally made it home to God.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I know you don't understand that. You're a selfish worldling. Amen?
Yes.
You say he didn't have sorrow. I didn't say he didn't have sorrow. He probably had sorrow. But I'm telling you, he didn't shed a tear, man. He was praising God. Said, what is that? Brother, that's a shout of a king.
Yes, amen.
That's a shout. Wesley's mother was dying, and she called all the boys around and said, when my last breath is taken, I want you to sing a hymn of praise to God. Wesley said they gathered around that bed ball. When she finally went, when her spirit finally left, man, away she went, so they stood there, and they sang praises to God. Say, what is that? That's a shout of a king. You say they're crazy. No, you're crazy. They had something you don't have. In the midst of problems and trials and heartaches and sorrows, them little boys would just shout and praise God. Say, what is that? That's something you ain't got. Let's sing another verse. Lord, speak to you. Come. Came to him and he said, you have pain? He said, yes, I have pain. But he said, the love of God is greater than my pain. You got to get this now. This is a 13-year-old kid. See? You say, what's the difference? A couple hundred years. That's the difference. And he said, are you assured and ready to meet God? And he said, if the Lord wills me to die, I'm ready to leave this wicked world.
Amen.
So what is that? Shout of a king.
Yeah.
Shout of a king. But your problem is you don't think it's a wicked world. But I'll sing the last verse. You hear this morning, you need some joy, you come.
you to do tonight. Come back, bring yourself, bring somebody else, bring a shout, and bring you a fly swatter. Everybody bring a fly swatter and drive these flies out here.
Yes.
Some spray or something, I don't know. You got in here this thick. I'll tell you what, these meetings have really been good. I'm thankful for them. My prayer is that you've allowed the Lord to help you. Amen.
Yes.
Brother Jim Wright, would you just listen to the prayer?
Well, thank you for the preaching
of
the word.
Yes.
Father, we pray, Lord, Father, that we'll get our shout.
Yes.
Father, keep it, Father.
Yes.
Pray for your second brother Harrison as he's on the road, Father.
Yes.
Thank you for it. Thank you for this day. Jesus, thanks for it.
Amen. Amen.